Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Jarvon Dexter lets it be known that he has big goals set for himself in his second year in the NFL. We're going to talk about what those goals are. We're also going to look at a Bears rookie in Rome Odunze also setting lofty goals for himself. And could he actually hit those goals? I think he may. And then we're going to look at how the Chicago Bears almost, just almost, missed out on being a good team last year and why this year's team should be able to overcome a lot of those shortcomings. We're getting into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bears Central, your number one place for all Chicago Bears news and content.
What's going on, Bears fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bears Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bears related. I'm the host, Air Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Shy Bears Central on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into it for today. So Jarvon Dexter, we've talked a lot about how the Bears have really bet on Jarvon Dexter in a lot of ways. Their second year man that they drafted last year, with their not going after a veteran interior defensive tackle, or interior defensive lineman. Defensive tackles are clearly interior, Hayes. But with that said, him and Zach Pickens in a lot of ways, the fact that they didn't go out there and get veterans, it really does show that they have a lot of faith in these guys. And I've talked a lot about, especially since the Bears didn't go out and get a big-time edge to be on the opposite side of Montez Sweat, unless Austin Booker develops into that, that, you know, the Bears have really set themselves up to bet heavily on their second-year man. Well, it seems like Jarvon Dexter has super big goals for himself as well. He revealed that on his lock screen of his phone, he has his expectations that he set for himself in the 2024 season, and he has the expectations of 8-plus sacks, 15-plus tackles for a loss, Pro Bowl, and All-Pro. Here's what I'll say. If Jarvon Dexter even accomplishes 2 out of those goals, those 4 goals he has set for himself, that's a really good season for Jarvon Dexter, an amazing season in a lot of ways for Jarvon Dexter. And I think Dexter understands that a lot, with especially with Matt Eberflus's system. The fact that he's now expected to be that 3-tech comes with its own huge expectations around it, because in a lot of ways, the defensive system that Matt Eberflus has, pressure from that interior defensive line is a huge part of what can make that successful for them next season. And so Jarvon Dexter setting these goals, setting these expectations, I love it. I love that when young players don't just sit there and say, oh, well, you know, I want to get better, I want to do this, I want to contribute. No, set the bar for yourself high, because those are the expectations that you're going to set for yourself. And if he falls short of those expectations, it could still be a really damn good season for Jarvon Dexter. He has to make an impact. And, you know, especially while we don't have that other edge right now, when we develop one in Austin Booker or whatever else it is, Jarvon Dexter, Zach Pickens, Keith Randolph, these are a lot of guys, especially if Keith Randolph makes the final roster. These are guys that you need to look at for a huge impact for the Chicago Bears team. When you look at it last season, the Bears last year, they suffered before we had the addition of Montez Sweat. You know, when it comes down to it, we forced 17 pressures in the 2 games right after Montez Sweat's arrival, and that was more than what we had the majority of the season before then. So, listen, the Bears having Montez Sweat automatically upset expectation, but having a player like Jarvon Dexter, like Zach Pickens, to really make big steps up for the Chicago Bears on that defensive line, it could really be a huge part of it. So, listen, we understand that the Bears and what we have on offense is going to get most of the attention. We understand that, and rightfully so. And the Bears didn't make kind of the big name acquisitions on that defensive line, but make no mistake about it, there are tons and tons of pressure in a lot of ways and expectations around what this defensive line could be, because they are starting off the season with Montez Sweat, because they didn't go out and get a big edge or interior defensive lineman. You're looking at Andrew Billings, Jarvon Dexter, Zach Pickens. That was your 3 main rotations in that interior defensive line, with maybe Keith Randolph as an undrafted rookie coming in. And so it's set the stage now where the Bears defense has expectations around it. And the Bears defense is something that, when you look at and how we finished the season, it's left so much room for optimism coming into the season for the Bears. And for what it's worth, much like we had the expectations from ESPN on the offense, we have that now for the defense. Mike Clay from ESPN shared his projections for the Chicago Bears defense in this. For Montez Sweat, which is where we all start at, 54 tackles, 9.1 sacks, 0 interceptions, playing 752 snaps. That's a big season for Montez Sweat, but I think he can go a little bit further. They also have for DeMarcus Walker expectation of him playing 687 snaps with 39 tackles and 6.2 sacks in that time. If he has 6.2 sacks next season, listen, that's a big season. And then they even had expectation for Dominique Robinson to have 2.8 sacks. Don't know how much Bears fans are going to agree with that one. Austin Booker, he did have playing only 32 snaps, 2 tackles, 0.3 sacks. I think Austin Booker's going to play a little bit more than what Mike Clay has here. As far as on the interior defensive line, for Andrew Billings, he had the expectation of 38 tackles, 1.9 sacks, 0 interceptions, and only 3.3 sacks for Javon Dexter and 37 tackles, 0 interceptions for him. If you look at Javon Dexter's expectations for himself, they're already far and above what Mike Clay has here for him, for example. And then you look at Zach Pickens, 548 snaps, 41 tackles, 2.2 sacks for Zach Pickens. I think Zach Pickens is going to be in line for a big season as well. For TJ Edwards, who had a big season for the Bears last year, he has 152 tackles, 2.4 sacks, and 1.3 interceptions for Zach Pickens as well. Tremaine Edmonds right behind him with 132 tackles, 1.4 sacks, and 1.4 interceptions for Tremaine. And then kind of down on our boy Jack Sanborn, 38 tackles, a half a sack, and 0.2 interceptions for him. Stop sleeping on my boy. Stop sleeping on my boy. Then when you look at Jalen Johnson, 55 tackles, only less than a sack, 2.1 interceptions. I think he's going to have more than that. 1.4 interceptions for Kyler Gordon, 78 tackles and 2 sacks. That's a really big season for Kyler Gordon. And then for Tyreek Stevenson, 79 tackles, 2.5 interceptions, 0 sacks for him. And then Terrell Smith, 12 tackles, only 129 snaps played. I think he's going to play more than that. Then when it comes to our new acquisition in Kevin Byard, he had Byard down for 105 tackles and 1.1 interceptions. Solid season. And then Jaquan Brisker, 111 tackles, 1.1 sacks, and 3 interceptions. For the people who like numbers predictions, there you go on that one. Didn't read all kind of the backups and things like that, but when it's all said and done, there are huge expectations for this Bears defense next season, and let's hope that they're going to be able to live up to it. I have a lot of faith that they will. But with that said, let's move into the next topic. And Romo Dunze having big expectations for himself as well. We've talked a little bit about it before, how he's talked about Nuka Pusia being somebody I mispronounce his name every time, but you guys know Nuka when it comes down to it, and him saying that he has the expectations of having an impact season like that for a rookie. Nuka set the rookie record last season, and he said this: "I'm absolutely chasing that. Of course, I'm chasing those records, and that's important. Hopefully leave the Bears organization better than where I found it, and I have my name on some of those records, but just one facet of doing so." Romo Dunze is, as a rookie coming in with DJ Moore and with Keenan Allen ahead of him, he's going to have to make the most of his opportunities. I do think there are going to be a lot of opportunities there for Romo Dunze next season. But if he's chasing setting that rookie record, he's going to have a tall test ahead of him, and he's going to have to really, really shine in the role that he's had. And for what it's worth, Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus have already talked about the luxury of having Romo Dunze and how they're going to be able to use him to explore mismatches and things like that and really do that all up and down with this wide receiver core. But when it comes down to it, I think a lot of ways it comes down to how this receiver core plays overall. And you also got to look at Caleb Williams' part in this as well. Caleb has to be as advertised, right? And that doesn't mean he has to be the best quarterback in the league next season or anything like that. But the quarterbacking that he brings to this team has to be solid. And for us to have those lofty goals and hopes of having three wide receivers over 1,000 yards, Romo Dunze is going to have to bring it. And we know that Rome has the capability. As I've said many times when it came down to Rome, he would have been the number one wide receiver off the board in a lot of drafts. He wasn't because of the depth of talent at the wide receiver position in this draft, but Rome is aiming high. And much like I said with Javon Dexter, having those high expectations for yourself are more than any expectations that we can set here, any analyst can set, because that's the standard that you're holding yourself to. And I love to hear that he's holding himself to a high standard, not just a standard of anything, but a standard of actually performing and setting records. Puka last year, and I said Nuka earlier, Puka Nacua. That's how you say it. Puka Nacua. I completely mess everything up. I don't know why I can't pronounce names. Forgive me. It is what it is. I swear to God, I get it a lot better when I'm not on the show. It is what it is. He set a record last year of 105 passes and put up almost 1,500 yards with 1,486 yards, which each were a rookie record. It's going to be big and a tall test for Romo Dunze to really even get close to setting those records with how we're going to spread the ball around, how many receiving options we have here for the Chicago Bears. When you look at it, outside of just the receiving core, Gerald Everett, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift is going to be catching passes out the backfield, right? All those things that we have a lot of depth here.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
As far as options for Caleb Williams to go to. But with the Shane Waldron offense that does like to get creative, does like to use and pass on non-traditional passing downs and run on non-traditional running downs, that's what helps his offenses be so fluid. And so Rome, if he proves himself to be it, listen, it is what it is. If he sets records next season, it's great. Even if he doesn't, he can have a great season. Much like I said with Javon Dexter, even if you don't hit the high expectations that you have for yourself, guess what you have? You still have a damn good season. And that's what it comes down to, is Rome and this team having a damn good season. And let's hope that they can do it, right? Let's hope that ultimately that they can reach it. But in reaching that, you got to talk about it's an interesting stat that came out last night that I want to talk about here. And this one comes from Warren Sharp, who actually tweeted this out. And this was great context. We know that the Bears finished 7-10 last season. But it said this: if games ended after three quarters, the Chicago Bears would have been 10-6-1 last year. That's the 8th most wins in the NFL. They outgained their opponents by 430 yards through three quarters and ranked number 10 in total line of scrimmage EPA, offense plus defense, through three quarters. But in fourth quarters of last year, we recorded a negative 50.7 total EPA, worst in the league, had 14 turnovers, number one for most turnovers in fourth quarters, threw 10 interceptions, number one for most there, and were outgained by 446 yards in fourth quarter, second worst in the NFL. Basically, what that means is that fourth quarters killed the Bears. And we've seen that, right? I think that data matches what we've seen. And that's not to blame it all on the offense or whatever. That's not to blame. We're not blaming Justin Fields here. We're just going over the data. And so overall, with what the Bears have done to add to their offense and hopefully refinement of their defense for a full season, I want to be clear here. In no way am I saying that those stats all of a sudden are going to point to the Bears being a top 8 team or anything like that next season. But it does point to where the Bears, where the Bears need to improve at. And if the Bears can shore that up and play a more total game of football, more wins should be coming. And there is an expectation, as I've been talking about basically all this week, of the Bears winning more football games. That's what it comes down to. And with these numbers, and a lot's changed for the Bears, so this version of the team is going to have its own shortcomings, its own things that it falls short on. But if you can play a total game of football, right, and stay in a full game of football, not have the huge up and down and swings from in the fourth quarters or whatever else, play a solid total game of football, more wins are coming for the Chicago Bears. And the Bears are one of the teams that you look at, and people have like labeled the Bears as one of the teams under the most pressure to succeed. And there is a lot of pressure for the Bears to succeed, even with having a rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams, because of Matt Eberflus being here, because of drafting Caleb Williams, because of just the overall talent that we have on paper and the skill sets that we have here, and how the defense ended last season. There are tons of reasons, and they're all reasonable, to have high expectations for the Chicago Bears team. And so the Bears, they have to perform. And like we've been saying for a long time, it comes down to winning. That's what this season is ultimately going to be told by, is the wins. Can you get the dubs? Can you win more football games? Can you play more total games? Can you be in and look like you belong in the NFC North? That's what we need from this team, and I have faith that we're going to see it. I think that this team has the talent. It has the coaching. But that doesn't mean that that's going to be the case, right? Like as Bears fans, we're confident, or we hope that every season is going to bring about the change that we've need because we've been struggling for so long as this franchise. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, you got to put it on wax, as Bobby says, right? I'll say we got to put it on the field, and nothing's going to be won by having a team full of guys that all say the right thing but don't do shit, right? We're saying the right things now. Those are all good things, and we're hearing the right things. Those are all great. But when it comes down to it, if it's not on the football field, it don't mean nothing. It don't mean shit, to be quite frank with you guys. So in the Bears looking, hoping that things are going to start changing around, Bears fans hoping that we finally got a team that's going to be able to give us what we've been wanting and needing to see from this franchise for so long. With having that, the expectations are naturally super high for this team. I don't always agree. I think some of you guys have unreasonable expectations, but it's all rooted in what? Wanting to see our team win football games. And that's not anything that any Bears fan should be mad at. It all comes down to winning football games. So let's see what happens, man. I do also want to point out the fact that I had my episode up early yesterday, and then all of a sudden, ESPN, like a whole bunch of other people reporting that it makes sense for the Bears to try to get Connor Williams. I've been saying this for the longest. Everything that's going on with the Bears offensive line, Connor Williams makes sense. Whether it's guard, whether it's center, he makes sense for the Chicago Bears offensive line. Now, will the Bears go out and get him? Will they be willing to spend the money? What is the market for Connor Williams even realistically like after recovering for an ACL injury? That remains to be seen. But for a front office in Ryan Poles that we know likes to look at how things are after training camp and make decisions on maybe bringing in some veteran, it could be a big thing and a sticking point for the Bears to go out there and get a veteran at that center, at that guard position to help that offensive line if that's what he sees the biggest need and if he's comfortable in what he's seeing from that center position. I don't want to revamp all of yesterday's episode, but there are some key things in it that I think that there are a lot of reasons to believe that is why the Bears should make a call. Make the call doesn't mean that Connor Williams will actually want to come here, but there's a lot of scheme reasons. There's a lot of reasons to think that it would make sense for Connor Williams to be a Chicago Bear. And we'll see if that ends up happening, man. But, you know, we'll see what happens there, man. But let's go ahead. We got one voicemail that I want to get into for today. This one's from Greedy. We're going to go ahead and play that now.
Yo, this is Greedy, man. I know I ain't called in a minute, man, but I just want to say this, man. I know everybody up on this Nate Davis thing and all this, that, and the third, man. Don't worry about it, because if Nate Davis don't be on his shit, his ass is out of that. $10 million a year and you ain't doing what the fuck you supposed to do, his ass is good as gone. Because guess what? We got Pitt, and you can get you a, you know what I'm saying, some to replace them next year, first or second round. High pick. So we can get a quality, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we can replace him and get somebody nice. So don't worry about that, man. I feel like we got a good core. We got some veterans coming in. The line's going to look better. Don't worry, man. We got Ryan Bates and Coleman Schultz. So, I mean, and our line is already straight. We just drafted Darnell Wright. We still got Tevin Jenkins. He's trying to get a contract, man. It's going to be a good year for Tevin Jenkins, man, because he wants that money. So don't worry about Nate Davis, man. Our line's going to be straight. It's going to look way better because Cody Whitehair couldn't even snap the ball last year. That was the most, I ain't going to lie, that was trash watching that man snap the ball. They did just a feels wrong, but we got to move on into better things than the next thing. We got a new quarterback, new throwing offense. So we're going to see what it's like. Now, last year, seeing all them screens and all that shit, I just couldn't do it no more. Especially against Tampa Bay. That game, I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? But if Caleb Williams smart, he could take control. He could control. That's what a quarterback's supposed to do. He's supposed to control the offense. He's supposed to say, you know what? Hey, F that. Let's do this. That's what an audible for. That's what, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like we need to be focused on just seeing what we going to be in this division as we going to make this playoffs, because I believe we are. I feel like in the top 10 games, first couple games going to be, we're going to see what Caleb Williams looking like. That coach game is going to be against a good defense. So we're really going to see what he looks like. And we're going to be all right. The Texas game, too. When we played, I forget what game we played, the Texans.
All right. So, listen, and a lot of people have different thought process when it comes to Nate Davis. Like I said, when it comes down to it, we pile on. And we've done it before in off seasons with Tevin Jenkins. We've done it in off seasons with Darnell Mooney. The media likes to pile on. But, well, here's what I'll say. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And so I would like to think that I could just say, hey, don't worry about Nate Davis. But no, Nate Davis, it is a reason to worry about Nate Davis. There's a reason to worry about Tevin Jenkins. There's a reason to worry about this offensive line production. There's a reason to worry about it because guess what? This is an offensive line that gave up 105 sacks in two seasons. No, there's reason to worry about this offensive line. And I would love to be able to say that we can't. But guess what? We have to. In being reasonable and looking at this thing objectively, we have to worry about the offensive line. We have to worry about Nate Davis. We have to worry about what we're hearing because, listen, it's not just one source saying. I can see if it was just one source saying it. No, this is something that's trickling out from everywhere. Nate Davis isn't ready right now. And when you hear that they could very well start Ryan Bates over him at the right guard position, and that's your $10 million guaranteed money guy, that's scary, fam. Like, it just is. And so, hopefully, like I said, that this all goes away. This could all go away in training camp if he has a really big training camp, and I hope it does. Not to knock him, but I hope it does. But let me know what you guys think on all that down below. That's our time for today. Make sure you guys are following the show at Shy Bear Central. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, ChicagoBearCentral@gmail.com. And then lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, which is tomorrow, 773-242-9336. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bears related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, Chi-Town up, but Bear down. Love you guys. Peace, y'all.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.